all of our lives every day. As you mentioned in the opener, I've spent my career thinking about the benefits that allow families to be successful and advocating for those benefits. And healthcare is at the top of the list. I have sat around a lot.
Hi, everybody. This is Brad with the United Way of Columbia and Greene Counties. You are listening to WGXC ACRA, Columbia and Greene Counties, 90.7 on the dial.
Turn out for the Deep in the Valley show Saturday, August 20th, put on by WGXC volunteer programmer Andy French, who does the Crawl Out from the Fallout show once a month on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on WGXC, and his Raven Sings the Blues organization, with performances from Chris Forsythe, Ryan Jewell, Bill Nace, Wet Tuna, and others, Saturday, August 20th from 11:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook. That's the Deep in the Valley show, Saturday, August 20th. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
My name is Justin Maiman. This is Ginger Radio Hour. Welcome. You're listening live here on WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM. I'm here in the studio on this about to be very hot day. In the background, you hear an instrumental selection from the new album by Florist, Catskills-based Florist. And this hour, you're going to hear my interview with them that I did a couple weeks ago by Zoom. They were in Palinville. I was in Cairo. And I'm going to interweave into the interview we did this incredible new album they have. Lots of critical raves around it. Pitchfork named it Best New Album, or Best New Music, all the same thing. But I agree, whatever that means. Let me bring this down a little bit. So that was called Bells Part 3. This new album, self-titled, from Florist, has 19 tracks, and it's interspersed with instrumentals. The whole thing was recorded in 2019 on the porch and in the house, in a house in Hudson Valley. The band basically camped together for a month in a house and made this incredible piece of music. I don't want to speak too much about the music because I think it speaks for itself and we'll play a lot of it today. The album came out on Friday. The label is Double Double Whammy. And Florist, of course, is made up of Emily Sprague, Johnny Baker, Rick Spataro, and Felix Walworth. They just began touring. I think they're now in the Midwest. They opened the tour in New York, and they are going to play the Turf Club in St. Paul, Minnesota tomorrow night, one of my old haunts. Then they're heading out west, and they will be back here in Kingston at Tubby's on August 26th. I'll repeat all of that info later. Again, Florist, a Catskills-based band. They spoke to me from Palinville. I'm going to weave in and out of this interview. I don't think I actually even need to introduce this first part because you're going to hear my voice again. So here we go. Welcome to Ginger Radio Hour. Here's Florist. I think you've written the definitive soundtrack of the Catskills.
Wow.
Wow.
Full stop.
Yeah, that's a bit of a mic drop.
Thank you.
Damn.
That's pretty huge. Yeah.
So bathe in it. Just enjoy it for a moment.
Wow.
It felt like I was listening to an album that had been made in this place.
Wow. That's perfect. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's great feedback.
How do you do that?
We just made it in this place. I think.
Yeah. I think it's like there's a huge essence of all of us that is this place. I mean, we're in Palinville right now. We all grew up in the area. Felix here is pretty connected to the area, despite being from the city. And it's kind of like where we all learned like who we are and who we are to each other and music, like we learned here.
Mm. I mean, we started the band like a mile away from here, more or less. So yeah, just a lot of time and a lot of growth.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge part of who we are and what the band is. And we've also always recorded ourselves like in the area in pretty janky little sheds and cottages and stuff. And I think that's that has always made its way like into the sound. And this process was kind of the most fleshed out version of doing that we've ever done, which I think really made its way into the actual sound files.
Right.
And yeah, just like emotionally, it's all in there. But definitely wasn't an intention to make it the soundtrack to the place, but it makes sense, I guess.
I mean, we were recording like the bulk of the album. We were recording in a house together. And we were doing a lot of it on the screened-in porch, doing all different times of day. So you're getting daytime birds and nighttime insects and whatnot. So that is really all accidental, more or less. I mean, I think we go into it knowing that that's something we're okay with, but it was not specifically planned in any way. It was sort of just like that's how it ends up. That's how it sounds once, you know, when you're recording on a porch like that. Yeah. So
I think we're the type of people too, who like tend to be open to things being like not perfect sounding in a lot of ways that would otherwise maybe be changed or edited. And for us, it's like important at the end of the day that something captures like a vulnerability or just like a trueness to whatever that is, like recording not with the goal of creating like this like sort of perfected, fully fleshed out final track, that's going to translate perfectly everywhere and be very clean and tidy, but to have something that just like is really capturing time and place and feeling. And that was like, I think the biggest factor when we were recording. It was very much about being where we were and who we were with each other.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's sort of the opposite approach to like a typical recording studio, which to me is usually a lot more about like removing variables, like taking oneself like outside, like out of the environment. And, you know, even just the architecture of those spaces is like no windows, like, you know, cloth all over the walls, like the sound is the only thing. And for us, we were just like, well, let's plop all of our, you know, weird old equipment down in this, the most exposed room in the house, and see what we can make here.
Right. Yeah. It seems like that's not that uncommon nowadays for people, but it's, I think it's really just all we've ever done and sort of what we like to do. It's like a, it's so much, yeah, it's just like a really, like it feels good as a process.
Yeah.
So it's just like a nature at this point that it's like, oh, we just get to be on a porch and, you know, feel the wind blowing and all these sort of like somewhat kind of obvious things, but it really just feels good.
Yeah.
And when you let your environment and your circumstances lead you, like in your art making practice, I just some like really magical things can happen.
Thank you. was a winter morning. You didn't know me yet. It probably was snowing. I wonder what was said of the days quickly going to what will come ahead. I don't know if I can ever love someone like that.
A question about collaboration, but before I ask it, I just want to find out, like, if there are certain things that any and all of you want to say about the album or the music, that like you don't always get to say about it out loud. I don't want to presume that I'm asking all the right questions. So,
I mean, I may have said this, but I think since this sort of goes off of what we were just talking about, what I just, you know, as a person who helped make this, what I like about it, what about the album is that when I listen to it, I feel like I'm there. I feel like I'm back working on it, you know, in that time, you know, in summer, you know, it was 2019. It was just, it very much is, it conjures memories for me. And that's sort of the best thing about when I listen to it. And I hope that that gets to, that carries over. It get, you know, that other people sort of having not actually been there still have that sort of experience.
Yeah. I think for me, I'd like to say that, and this is, I've kind of been saying this a little bit, but it's not always asked, I guess, like the, so much of when we talk about the record, like we're talking about our process together and our relationships to each other, which is like this huge part of the making of it. And it's a huge part of kind of the narrative of the album. But when you step outside of that, it really is supposed to be about like this like much larger scope of connectedness. So it's like you can feel us playing the music and you can feel us in that space that is specific, you know, to this place, to the Hudson Valley. But at the same time, hopefully it's encapsulating a feeling of the connections between everyone, everything, wherever you are really, and whoever you're with. And that being the thing that I think really, for me, I'm proud of, that we, I think, did that in a bit of a way that will be accessible as a piece of work to listen to for somebody in, yeah, another state or another country or another time in life and things like that. Like, I really believe in music being accessible, even if it's got a specific story or a life that it's representing or telling, or a perspective that it's coming from, but that it can still be universally, to a degree, meaningful. And so that's like a big purpose of it for me, and I think something that I do feel like I'm proud of about it, and to not lose that in any of the like it's we can talk so much about our relationships to each other, which are endless, but like, yeah, it's a hopefully a bit meta as well.
I mean, I think it translates, right? The connections between the four of you can easily translate to a more, you know, that micro relationships can translate to relationships that we all have, that people all notice, not necessarily just with small groups of friends, but to each other, to people we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So as far as the collaborative elements, I imagine, so you said you were in this house for a month. Listening to the album is a good memory, I imagine. And I know you went there to do this, but I wonder what it was like day to day, because you were kind of coming in. Obviously, you had some lyrics written and you knew parts of what you were doing, but then half the album is made up of these, I don't want to call them interstitial elements, but, you know, audio sound recordings. I'm just wondering, like, how you managed it day to day, or if it just happened organically.
Definitely happened organically. I mean, we just were hanging out. There was a lot of time where we were not playing music. There's a lot of time where we were not playing music. I mean, we were together for a full month and just doing chores and playing video games and, like, you know, and sometimes somebody would just wander into the space that we had set up to record and would just press record and would just start working on something and messing around. And I think that's how most of the instrumentals happened. And, you know, at all times of the day, just morning, night, just happened. And we didn't necessarily go into it with a plan to do it like that. We went, I think the main plan was to see, you know, Emily had a couple songs that I think she had, just a couple that she already had, and then was going to keep writing songs throughout while we were there. And that was the plan. And we just ended up, because we were spending time together, and when we spend time together, we end up making a lot of noises, and we recorded a lot of them. And that was just purely, I think, recreational and like sort of just to get things out. Like, just almost not an exercise, but just like, you know, it was just a function of being there, was making all those extra sounds. And it wasn't until later that I think we decided to put a bunch of them into the album.
Yeah, I think it started to make a lot of sense too, because like I had a few songs written, and we would work on a song, and then I would go off and try to write a little bit more. And in the meantime, whether I was doing that or not doing that, there would be like everything was set up and ready to go. And like John's saying, like we would just walk in there and start making these instrumentals. And it was like kind of like the album is sequenced. It would be like we'd be working on a track, and then we would have this, you know, hour that we would just run the tape machine till its end playing some kind of instrumental together that was like super weird and just totally in the moment of it. And then as we were going back and like listening to the tapes, there would be a song and then the instrumentals would come on. And we spent that whole month hearing these instrumentals as we were working on other songs as well. And as we were just kind of going in and making them, just as a function of being there. It's just like a thing that we do when we're together and there are instruments around, just start playing them. And then it was all, you know, the tone of all that was informed, I think, by us being there together and the things we were doing and just like kind of being in life in this strange, like almost like it was a bit of a bubble, you know, we were kind of just in our own little reality there. And it was a bit of an experience in that way that I think everything started to pour into. And then once we had the bulk of everything recorded, it was like, it became clear that it all kind of functioned together as this organism. But it was a very like all over the place process. We definitely didn't have much structure at all or much of a regiment to get certain things done. It was very much just kind of letting our emotions just kind of guide us and whatever the day brought, accepting that. And we did manage to make some music despite having no real discipline or plan or anything. But totally. Yeah.
Just because that is what we do together. Sorry. And that's kind of what it ended up, the album ended up being about, is just like, well, this is just what we naturally do together, clearly. And all of, even just in a day, like all of the changes that happen, like in your life, just in your experience of reality through one day, in when you're not making an album, like, but when we were together, you know, we ended up capturing a lot of that, I think, just by accident.
More of those beautiful musical accidents in a moment. Let's reset here. My name is Justin. This is Ginger Radio Hour, live on WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM. You're listening to an interview I taped 2 weeks ago with the band Florist. They have a new self-titled album. It was released last Friday. Go stream it, or buy the vinyl, or the CD, or the tape, or whatever it is that you do. The album is wonderful. The band Florist, is made up of Emily Sprague, Johnny Baker, Rick Spataro, and Felix Walworth. That was Johnny Baker speaking about these wonderful accidents here, right before I jump back in. I'm going to play some more of this wonderful album. One of the things that makes me so happy is that on this album, Florist is doing their best to bring the saxophone back. Check this out.
I'm alive. I think I'm alive. Too much on my mind. Too much on my mind. Take me, show me all the things that I have never known. And do not say goodbye.
I think it was a bit of an experiment as well. Like, we have always talked about over the years wanting a significant amount of time to work on things. And in the past, it's been much more, you know, we have a few days at once to record, then a few more days here. And it was more, I guess, a straightforward, like, we're just kind of getting these songs down and that's the album. And, you know, that was obviously a fine way to do things. But we always, I think, over the years have felt that feeling of like, what would just happen if we had more time than we needed, even, or enough time to, yeah, wake up at noon and then just like do anything else but make music until 9 p.m. and then just play music all night, and like just this sort of like free form experiment of being together. I think that being such a huge part of it too, at the time that it came, was what informed the whole process. And ultimately, like, I was writing songs after we had already gotten there, you know, the rest of the record was written there. So it really did become about that little world and all the kind of limits we were pushing ourselves to. And in a way, like, that being freeing to be a little bit more like daring with how we're making and kinds of things I'm writing about, and just like, just really like pushing the limits and feeling like we can like just strip everything away and be our raw selves and try to touch this thing that is super mysterious about like existence and what everything is, basically.
It is mysterious. I think this is a little bit maybe revealing of myself, but so there's something about surrounding yourself with both time, which I've done recently, and your things, whether it's writing or making music, instruments, making art. But there's a lot of pressure when you're by yourself doing it. And yeah. One of the things that I really am jealous of people who make music together in bands is that there's so much collaboration that is spurred by each other, but also it takes some of the pressure off, I'm thinking. Maybe not.
Definitely.
I was going to say, in terms of collaboration, that there was a fair amount of stuff where we were all four in the same room working on it together. Mm-hmm. There were some songs that we tracked mostly live, that sort of thing. But really, in terms of time, I'd say much more time was spent sort of, you know, we'd record the basics of a track and then, you know, someone would go cook some food or would just go like lay on the couch or whatever. And someone else would be working on it, just trying out ideas and sort of trading off, just like, you know, whenever one of us felt like we were able to work on it or, you know, inspired to work on it, we could. And that, right, that takes a lot of the pressure off. And you don't have to be like, oh, I'm not being productive, I'm sitting on the couch. Mm-hmm. It's actually like, oh, this is a process. You know, each one of us is having this little bit of time to try stuff. And that's like necessary.
Yeah.
And is productive, like ultimately, because
yeah.
Right, without any strict schedule, just basically doing this as a practice, you know, repeatedly working on stuff and going through that cycle, we ended up with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so. I think it was like, it was both a group effort and also I think the trust that we had at the time and have with each other, you know, at this point individually, to go work on something without anyone else present, but like be changing the song was something that happened a lot, totally alongside like us, yeah, playing something live and recording it together and kind of getting into that connectedness. There was also this like sense of separate collaboration, like Rick is talking about, where, yeah, there was a lot of different schedules going on and everyone would maybe be in and out of their like creative like abilities for the day at different times. And we would just sort of like figure out how to weave in and out of that. So it did, I think was based a lot in trust and like how, you know, it was this effort of individuals, but also like our connectedness to each other. Even when we weren't playing together.
I remember one of my strongest sort of like audio memories of the experience was at one point during the recording, we moved our whole setup down to the bottom floor of the house for a bunch of environmental disaster reasons. You know, the elements,
it started raining every day.
Yeah, the elements stopped being kind to our you know, vintage recording gear. I was going to sleep pretty early most nights up there, and my room was directly above where the recording started taking place, and Johnny was down there for several days working at this very complex string arrangement, like multiple tracks on the song Dandelion on the record. And I was just hearing the
at four in the morning,
at all hours. No, it was beautiful. It was like my like sort of soundtrack to my like, you know, semi-conscious state. But it was just like it was alive like at all times, like in the space with just like people, you know, trying out sort of harebrained recording ideas. And also, and a lot of those harebrained ideas ended up on the record. Because they were genius, actually.
That was Felix Walworth talking there at the end. I think they're right. A lot of genius came out of those sessions, those 30 days they spent somewhere in the Hudson Valley tucked away making this album. So let's hear this specific track that they were just talking about, Dandelion.
Thank you.
It's the sound that I need from your voice to belong to the shape that I choose in my life. And the home is a garden that I can't keep alive. Surface from my arms, the breeze is only here for a little while I cry. It'll go back to my mother in the stars. When that wind comes round again, it tells us everything's changing. Stay inside me just a little while longer after I am done. After I am gone, comfort comes for no one. Comfort knows no one. It's always the darkest things I keep inside my thoughts. You must be a lucky one to fall into the stars after all.
Hard not to smile as you listen to that. That was River's Bed by Florist. Before that, the track Dandelion. I wanted to refer back to something I wrote in my Ginger newsletter last night about Emily Sprague's voice. And, you know, her role as the lead singer and songwriter in this band. I wrote, Emily projects a dreamy yet weary confidence and power. And I think it sticks. And one of the things that I think, if you've listened for the last 50 minutes, you realize by now is that Florist is more than a band. It really is a friendship project that's been going on for a decade now. And so I wanted to give the band one last chance to talk about this special relationship they have as human beings, but also as musicians. Here we go.
I feel like we have like a really strong common language for now at this point is like, we all know when there's something special.
Yeah.
And when like, I don't think there were any moments where someone was like, how can we possibly get rid of this? It's perfect. Like everyone was just like, it's wrong. It's like, or like we need to like think around this or like a feeling of like, it's totally perfect. Don't touch it ever again. Like,
yeah, definitely.
I think it's
lucky.
Yeah. Well, I think you are lucky in the sense that, I mean, I've heard this on your other albums as well, like this trust and this intimacy. If you're going to be in a band, like those are really wonderful things to have, right?
Yeah. I mean,
we never forget it.
We
talk about it all constantly, the time, how lucky we
are. Like, just like, how is this even possible? How do we still like each other? Yeah. And I mean, more than ever, I think.
Yeah.
Too. Sure. It's like, we've gone through so much together, and at this point feels like it's really just so special and lucky.
And to that point, forget the band, you know, forget the band. Like, it's that's just like the icing on the top.
Oh, exactly.
For sure.
The band is 100% just like the bonus, I think, thing about it. It's totally just the extra. Yeah. Even during making this record, I feel like we were pretty like there were a lot of ups and downs emotionally. Like it wasn't just like we were having this amazing time and every day was like we were happy and just kind of making music. It was like a lot of times like super, super intense and emotional, and we're going through all these different things, but feeling comfortable enough around each other to be in that space and make music, you know, despite it, and even more so put it into the music in a way that I think can really encapsulate like a realness of being and like feeling that is kind of what we try to do.
And if someone had to disappear for like, you know, 12 hours, it wasn't like, where the hell are you?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Working on your part. It was like the most important thing is that we're all taking care of ourselves and each other. Like, like that's sort of like you're saying, like the band is the icing. Like
the
relationships are, that's the,
totally. It's so strange. It's so strange that we even are a band. I mean, it almost like, is just what we naturally do somehow. Like, it's like the friendship is the thing, and then for some reason we also go make sounds together. It's awesome. It's great.
Right, there's no like, right, there's no lack of conflict or something. You know, and there never is with human beings. But I think just knowing there's a lot of pushing and pulling in different directions, and that's just something that naturally happens as people. But I think that's, to me, what makes, what makes like musically things we make more interesting. And ultimately that leads to what I think is more interesting relationship ultimately. And as the icing, the music.
Totally.
It's very durable, I've said. It's surprisingly durable.
Yeah.
What kind of cake would you be?
What type of cake?
What was that cake that your dad made at the house?
It was like a carrot cake.
Is it a carrot cake?
We probably would be a carrot cake.
I
would say,
interesting.
I mean, oh, all right. You don't want to be a carrot cake?
The band is breaking up.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
The band isn't breaking up. That was Florist. And you've been listening to Ginger Radio Hour and my interview with Florist. The band is made up of Emily Sprague, Johnny Baker, Rick Spataro, and Felix Walworth. Tomorrow night, Wednesday, August 3rd, they're playing the Turf Club in St. Paul, Minnesota. They're going to wind around the Midwest and the South and the West. And then August 26th, they'll be back here in the Catskills in Hudson Valley playing Tubby's in Kingston. I'll be at that show. Let me see if I can pull up what else I can tell you about this tour. And we'll bring in a little bit more from the album as well at the same time.
It's all right.
This is Feathers.
Mystery of dreams and existence flows.
You've spent an hour with me now on Ginger Radio Hour. I'm Justin, live on WGXC here in the Acre Studios at 90.7 FM. Again, the new Florist album, it's self-titled and it's on the label Double Double Whammy. There's more info about Florist and an extended interview. I only got to play about half of it for you. In the Ginger newsletter. Go to justinmaiman.com to find that. And I want to thank Florist and their label Double Double Whammy for making all of this possible. I felt lucky to get an hour of their time.
So what do you think? Should we just be here?